You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny in Review. This time we are reviewing Don't Breathe. We're returning to horror, you know what I mean? Not quite the Conjuring universe, cinematic universe, but we're trying to do something a little bit different here. Don't Breathe 2 is coming out later this week, and we're like, you know what? A lot of us really enjoyed the first one, so let's go back, get a little refresher as we go into number two. Of course, as always, I am Tim Geddes, joined by It's Christmas in August, Joey Noel.
I know that this is Don't Breathe in Review, guys, but I started watching Cobra Kai yesterday. I am down a rabbit hole, and we might have to just redo that whole series with me instead of Josh McCuga.
Not gonna be mad. Not gonna be mad at it. Are you gonna be mad at that? The producer slash seducer Dick Scarpino.
I'm not mad at anything, man. It was fun going back and watching this movie. Not the least of which was like, I think I'm a big Fede Alvarez fan. If you guys didn't know, and now Tim, I know what you're saying. What other movie did he direct? That's right, Evil Dead, the Evil Dead remake. Did I see it? No, but we did Comic-Con that year and I got to meet Fede Alvarez. And you guys know that if someone's nice to me, I'm a friend of them for life.
Yes. I'm sure we'll tell more stories about that later. Stories that unfortunately did not include the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
My mic no longer tells me if it's on or not. It just the light turned off on it. This is scary, guys. I'm really scared.
You're going to be fine.
If you unplug it and replug it back in, it should be fine. Mine does.
See, this is
yeah,
this
but
is the
if 40. it kills all of, like, if I do that, it screws up all the audio for you guys.
It's always something. It's always something.
I know. It happened I hit the intro button. Heartbreaker.
It's a perfect setup for this beautiful show because we have, for the very first time, you might know him from the intros. Every intro we've done for Kinda Funny in Review, including this one. He is the Bossa Nova from Nova Scotia, Cameron Kennedy.
That's amazing. That's
thank you.
That's some of your best work.
It's 5 years since I first saw this movie. And I don't know about you guys, but I have not had a Thanksgiving dinner I've been able to enjoy since.
That is a very good point. Yes.
Very true.
Oh, man. Of course, Cameron, thank you so much for joining us. We're about to have a big Cameron Kennedy week. It just felt right. I don't know how this all fell in that this is happening, but you're going to see him three times on Kinda Funny content this week for Don't Breathe in Review 1 and 2. And also, he will be joining us on tomorrow's Kinda Funny podcast. So that'll be fun. We'll get into more nitty gritty of who he is and all that stuff on that. But like I said, you all know him from his great work and interview. Cam, just want to thank you on content for all of the fantastic and review intros you've done over the years.
Thank you guys for everything you've done for me. And I mean, obviously this and this weekend. Yeah, everything.
Gonna be fun stuff. Gonna be fun. Let's get right into it. This is Kinda Funny's Don't Breathe in Review each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindafunny. We get together and rank and review two different movie franchises. This week we are doing Don't Breathe, and that is very exciting stuff. Stay tuned for what we are doing next over on twitter.com/kindafunnyvids. You can get it on youtube.com/kindafunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to get it as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny in Review, and we will be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free and watch live as we record it, you got to go to patreon.com/kindafunny, just like our Patreon producer, Molecule, has done. Thank you so much, Molecule. That means you will not need to hear the ads later for MeUndies, Faerty, and Upstart. But now that that's all out of the way, let's get right to it. Don't Breathe, a film originally titled A Man in the Dark, which I think is a way cooler title.
No.
No way.
No, I like Don't Breathe way
Don't
better.
Breathe is so much cooler.
It's title Don't Breathe, I always get mixed up with the movie Lights Out.
Lights Out.
Came out around the
same
time.
Oh my God, same thing. Mm-hmm. And Lights Out, by the way, makes so much more sense for this
than Don't Breathe.
I feel like there's moments in it where like you can see the character like literally holding their breath. And it's like those moments are the most tense, where you're just sitting there being like, I also can't breathe. Don't breathe. That's the name of the movie.
Yeah, but there's also moments where people get their fucking lights knocked out, and you're like, that motherfucker got his lights knocked out.
Nick, it would have been so much easier, for you to have been like, there's moments when the lights get turned off.
There's no, because there's only one moment where that happens, and there's only one light, and it would be light out.
Light out.
No, there's a right. it's the garage lights.
Of course,
the Roman plural. Basement.
Joey, multiple lights don't work for the joke. It's light out. That's the kind of humor you're getting on your first ever kind of funny podcast. What is lights out?
Was that any good?
Lights out? It was like a demonic possession.
David F. Sandberg?
Came and went.
Is that Sandberg?
Yes.
Not as good as
David Sandberg is right. I have it open here.
Oh, what they talk about the Lonely Island guy?
No. That's the Shazam guy.
Yeah.
David F. Sandberg is the guy that did The Conjuring 2, I think. The one we liked, the one out in the farmhouse with all of the women, the teenage girls.
I think that was like really The Conjuring, like 4.
There's 15 Conjuring.
Annabelle Creation.
That's it. Conjuring 4.
So here we go. We got a runtime of 1 hour, 28 minutes. You love to see it. I love whenever a movie's under that hour and a half mark. You know you're in for hopefully a good time. Released on August 26th, 2016. I don't remember the circumstances, but Nick and I saw this in theaters together.
We did, and I don't know why. I think we just did it for fun.
Yeah, and it might have been because it was directed by Fede Alvarez, a Uruguayan filmmaker known for directing Evil Dead 2013 and Don't Breathe in 2016. In 2009, he released a short film on YouTube, and before premiering online, the film screened at the Buenos Aires Rojo Sangre Film Festival. And a few weeks later, Alvarez made a deal with Ghost House Pictures to direct a 30 to 40 million sci-fi film. His first project with Ghost House ended up being the Evil Dead remake. It was really successful, and they gave him the ability to just do his own thing. So he turned that into Don't Breathe. And he was actually, because of Don't Breathe, approached by Marvel Studios to direct a movie, but he declined to do it because he thought he wouldn't have enough creative control. And he was kind of like addicted to it after this, which is kind of cool. And he was also, he also declined replacing Ben Affleck as the director for The Batman coming up soon.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Those are two hugely high-profile movies that I think would have benefited his career for sure. But hey, good for him.
The problem of director control is like a very serious one. I think in both those franchises.
Yeah, but you're not thinking in terms of now. That was obviously 5 years ago. Now they're like, James Gunn, whatever the fuck you want to do, please just go do it. I don't care. Literally, everyone in DC was like, they dumped fucking money onto his lawn, and we're like, whatever you want to do, we are fine with it. And now really they're giving him more movies.
Yeah, I really hope that is the case, because that's the thing. Like, when you hire really talented people to do what they do best, like, don't step in there and try to change it.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure the reason that we went to go see this movie, Nick, was because we had such a good time with him at Comic-Con that year.
That's true. That I was like, I just became a huge fan.
That is the boy, dude.
Because the thing is this, like, the Evil Dead remake didn't speak to me, not because of its merit or because of how it was made. I was just like, I like Sam Raimi. I don't know that this movie needed to necessarily be remade. And his take on it was much more closer, I think, to a horror movie than it was the campiness of Sam Raimi's original. Yeah, watching Kevin struggle with this mic is like watching someone wrestle an alligator that's dead. It's great. but yeah, meeting him and hanging out with him a little bit, that was super fun. I was like, oh, we should go check out his film. And it turns out he's a hell of a filmmaker. This movie is very good. It plays with tension and with sound, with quiet very, very, very well. And I think for a movie with only like four actors in it, it feels a lot bigger than it is. It's a cool movie. It's very well made.
And so with that, a budget of $9.9 million, a box office. You want to guess, Cam?
Sorry, what was the budget?
$9.9
million. I'll say like $280 million.
Holy shit. Oh. Not quite. That's a lot.
I'm going to say
$158 million, which is still a major success for a movie with a $10 million budget.
I was going to guess $250. Yeah,
I was trying to shoot high. I thought like these...
That's what happens. Yeah.
Now, that's true.
This is a major successful horror movie, though, at a budget of $10 million, box office 158. Yeah, it was number one in the U.S. box office for the first 2 weeks of release and stayed in the top 10 for 6 weeks. So, hey, kind of cool. Cream rising the crop a little bit.
And you know, honestly, like it's a movie that I think I don't know how big their marketing budget was, but I think a lot of word of mouth was like, yo, this is a fucking good horror movie. Like, this is a good suspense thriller style movie. Because on the outset, when you watch the trailer for it, you're like, this looks like a standard fare, like is it Blumhouse or who does like this just cranks out horror movies like that? And you're Blumhouse, like, it's fine if that's your thing, but it's not, I don't know if it's gonna, there's gonna be anything special to it. But watching it, you're like, this is kind of a fucking masterclass in how to make this type of genre movie.
Yeah. Cam, what'd you think?
I really enjoyed it. There's a little more to it that, since I first saw it, that stands out as kind of, I'll say, problematic. Mostly involving the, I don't want to say the portrayal of the blind man, because he's an awful human being in it, but just the idea again of a non-blind actor playing a blind person, and the only representation for this disability is using it to create horror, is a little messed up. And I read a few articles by this filmmaker and online personality named Dominic Evans, just to see what the disability community kind of thought of it. And there were similar thoughts to that, but overall, in terms of like actually how the movie's made, same thing as Nick was saying earlier, like the way it plays the tension, the way it is mostly set in the same house the whole time, and you still get a sense of where everything is, despite it all being in a guy's house you wouldn't probably be decorating. Like, it does a really good job feeling real in the world, but also letting you know where everything is and setting the stakes, I think.
Yeah, totally. Actually, speaking of that, Alvarez has called the movie an exercise in reversal, noting that the film deliberately subverts tropes such as the fact that the house in question is a nice house on a scary street, as opposed to the opposite, or that the movie is a home invasion story told from the point of view of the invaders.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, that's kind of cool how they played with that. And Nick and I always talk about how, like, the house being its own character in these horror movies, especially with The Conjuring ones we did, like, that's when they really succeed. I think this one did as well. Joey, what'd you think?
This movie for a long time was really one of my like favorite horror thriller. What are we calling this? Something in horror. That range. And I feel like, because I obviously remembered most of it, including like the big twist or whatever you want to call it at the end. But rewatching it this time, I feel like I just have like a different lens on things. And I don't know if it's just life experiences and just life lived, but like I remember the like big shocking thing at the end when he's like, nope, now you're gonna be here in this basement. I remember being like, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. But now I feel like I don't love that part, because it is just so invasive, and it's the whole conversation too of like, hey dude, even though you said that you didn't rape that girl because you didn't actually rape her, or like you didn't have sex with her, you don't necessarily need to like have sex with somebody to rape them. So I just like to put that out there, like any non-consensual activity is still considered rape. So like, I don't know if that, I don't really like that trope being used, and I feel like they could have maybe played around with some other things, like,
well, I think it's, I just know, the like line, right, where he tries to define it, where he's like, I'm not this thing. But I think, again, totally, that speaks to the sort of, he's the bad guy in this, right?
Yeah.
So you start getting into the minutiae where you start being like, I question the bad guy's motivations. You're like, well, he's the bad guy, right? This guy is
not
right. And obviously, like, I think it is good to make that distinction, right? But I think audiences watching it should know that this situation's terrible. Right.
Totally.
However, you want to define it in your own mind, bad guy, it doesn't matter, because to the well-adjusted person who's watching this, this fucking scene is terrifying and horrible. And I think that was the point of it, right? It was supposed to have that shock value where you're like, what is this? Was as disturbing as the moment where they walk into the room in Seven, where they see Gluttony, and there's just the guy chained to the table that he fed to death. It is, I forget the other one where it was like, but it's that shocking. And to me, from like a filmmaking standpoint, to be able to create that vibe is very, very, very difficult. A lot of filmmakers have tried before, and it either comes off cheesy, or it doesn't hit the right way, or it just comes off, it doesn't work in the context of the movie. It takes you out of it. And this, I was like, oh my God, the terror and dread you feel for these characters, specifically for Jane Levy's character, is real. And I think that's why I look at how he created that tension, and I'm just kind of in awe of it.
I think that's part of it too, is that like up until that point, for well, not up until that point, up until you find out that he has somebody in the basement, you're like rooting for this guy. You're like,
yeah, you're like, oh, fuck, man, these, like, guys, he's up, these guys, especially so when he drama. Kills when he kills money. You're like, yeah, fuck that kid. That kid sucks.
Yeah,
right. He's squeezing the life out of him, and then there's that moment where he's like, oh, he's gonna let him go. But you know, he fucking blows his head off. No. I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, they're
so
all
stressful. It's so that's what I think I like about it is that yeah. it flips it on itself, and like what you think is the established norm based on like what they do in the first 20 minutes is like not actually how it all ends up playing out. And so it's mm-hmm. it kind of keeps you on your toes. I also like that they play with the like, oh, they always come back. They're never really dead. But like they do it in a more playful way of not playful, but like in a more thought out way of like when you think that. The kid from 13 Reasons Why, whose name I'm never going to remember. You think that he dies. Yeah, exactly. With the Clippers. And then you find out it's like, oh, they did set that up, that money's he found money's body in the laundry room. And like, I don't know. I feel like it's less tropey than just being like, oh, yeah, he just managed to survive that really brutal thing that happened that usually happens in horror movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kev, what do you think?
I think I'd be I'm in the same boat that Joey is, where I enjoyed the movie a lot. Like originally I liked it, I think, more than I did rewatching it now, because I've seen it I think twice before last week, where we watched it again, and there's just something like I don't know, I guess it's the character, like him not accepting that that's rape is seems really fucked up. But I mean, this man is clearly like a bad guy as well, right? Like everyone is bad in this movie, so it's
yeah, but again, the message of the movie to teach the audience.
I know, but it's just one of those things. Like when he says that line,
it's supposed to be disturbing, right? It's supposed to make you think, feel exactly how you feel right now, which you're like, that's not right, right? But that speaks to the how fucked up this guy is that he thinks by his moral code that's okay, but you're supposed to be disturbed by this, right?
Yeah, and but I mean, overall, holy shit, this movie is so suspenseful. Like, there are so many moments that I am sitting on the edge of my seat, like, grabbing on, being like, fuck, like, don't fuck this up. Just break the gate and jump out.
Get out of there, fuckers.
Yeah, you know? And then it's exciting. I feel like the big shock moments that happen, like, the after the dude gets stabbed with the... And it's like, oh, it wasn't him. He stabbed the other body. Like, that is a cool moment. But again, the tension doesn't stop after that. It's just... That situation leads to another moment full of tension that leads to another moment full of tension. And it's one of those things that, like, even though there's six big moments, like, it doesn't slow down. It keeps you going with it the whole time. Mm-hmm. And, like, by the end of it, you kind of, like, can't believe what's happening. And it's like, whoa, I can't believe that, like, the resolution is ending this way. Very excited to see the second one. Don't know if we needed one, you know?
No, we don't.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's how I feel about A Quiet Place, and that was a surprise. So we'll see.
Totally.
Great point.
Yeah, I really, really, really think this movie is very special, and I kind of agree with sentiments from everybody in one way or another, where I feel like the kind of rape twist was, like, one thing too far that just wasn't necessary. If you just, like, took the girl and kidnapped her, that would have been, like, enough for me, but it felt like... They just hit the point where, like, well, we've already shocked the audience so much, we got to just keep going.
Yeah.
And I was like, we could have backed off just on that one last thing. Because otherwise, I think this movie is such a perfect example of a play box of, like, a toy box of horror elements that Fede expertly crafted in a way where they set up a bunch of things at the beginning, like, including the opening shot, right, of, like, seeing the end of the movie. And as a moviegoer, you're watching that of him dragging her down the street. So you're like, I know it gets there at some point. But you don't know the context of it. And when they actually reveal in the movie, it's not the end. And I liked that. Like, I liked that it, like, we assume it's the final shot, but it wasn't. And what happened after that was, I thought, really interesting. And the dog and, like, the Clippers and, like, all this stuff that they slowly start to introduce to you over time throughout the movie, and then really have nice setup and payoffs for everything. And all of those are enhanced by, like Kev was saying, tension and just, like, perfectly kind of shot scenes to keep your eyes and ears on what they want you to focus on to really kind of make it an hour and a half of constantly feeling like, oh, which is like kind of what you want from a horror movie. And this movie just keeps going places. And like, I think that it does such a good job of leading you down a path and then doing something just a little bit different than you expect, that I think 9 out of 10 times it really works. And there is that one time that I just feel like they could have, and in these days, I think would have done something a little bit with more restraint. But yeah, to me, definitely it stood up, and I can't believe it was as good as it was the first time I saw it in theaters, and I can't believe I'm enjoying it as much as I am now.
I am stressed out about seeing this in theaters.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Because yeah. I don't think I ever saw this in theaters. I think I've just seen it like at home or like with groups of friends and stuff like that. And I feel like I'm just jumpy anyways in these movies. And I feel like this is not going to be any better. Even watching it, we watched it at Tim's with like the surround sound and stuff like that. And even then I was jumpy. And
yeah, there's
I haven't seen like a tense movie like this in theaters in like 2 years. And I feel like I'm not prepared.
There was a really funny moment that so Joey was sitting right next to like to the right of Tim right now. And there's a speaker right next to her. And the surround sound, like something made a noise and like you were shook and you were like, why was the noise coming from here? And it's like surround sound, baby. And it was just like, whoa.
Joey was like this legitimately for an hour and a half.
And I've seen this movie, but like it's been just long enough that like I don't remember every beat. I just remember like the general sense of the movie. And,
and that's something that I think is cool. Is that this movie plot wise works so well with its twist that don't feel like they just come out of nowhere. That it all kind of feels like they build up the evidence of him and the girl, like his daughter dying early enough in the movie that when we get the payoffs, it feels like this makes sense and just doesn't come out of left field. But I forgot about it, but it's so well crafted that I was like, by the end of it, I'm like, how did I not remember any of these things? Cause it's so well done. But
yeah.
Anyway, speaking of the plot, let's get to the plot. No fun songs or anything, Nick. Hit it, please.
Please tell us the story. Hey, please. Tim, it's tradition.
I knew that you were going to do it, Nick. I was like, what song is he going to pick?
I thought you were going to make up a song to like the Halloween theme song or something.
No. I think
that's way too much work.
When you put Randy Newman along with Don't Breathe, you get something just incredibly fucked up and twisted. Hey, everyone, it's Don't Breathe. We open on a shot of a mysterious figure as he drags a woman's body, bloody body, down the street in broad daylight, and no one does anything. What is this? The Tenderloin? That's a San Francisco joke just for Tim and Joey and Kevin and not Cam. He doesn't understand.
Don't go to the Tenderloin. It's scary.
Three robbers break into a nice house. Just like the last time, he says, no cash. The total take has to fall under 10 G's. This kid is smart. S-M-R-T. Here's a bone. Here's what I'm going to tell everyone. I'm fine with you breaking into a rich person's house. But why do you also have to break shit? You know what I mean, Kevin? In search of injury.
Nah, you gotta piss on something. You gotta piss on something. You know what I mean? So that's just mean. What you
that
do.
Seems extreme.
My friend got her car stolen and they cleaned it all out, like pulled out all the insides, and then they replaced it with a shitty seat and they pissed on it at the end. So that was fun.
Wow.
A lot of work. Wow.
Yeah, I literally have in the notes I wrote, the first thing was guy peeing and breaking stuff was a little bit much.
It's because
none of you guys have a robber's mentality.
Sure. You guys are all looking backward. Money's looking
like normal people.
DNA from that?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Very little DNA in pee. Yeah. Almost none. Unless you've got something wrong with you and you've got your blood in your pee.
Science,
nothing.
Science with Kev.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Well, we should Google that just in case kids break into someone's house and they get arrested and they sue.
No, they should get caught like, if that's the case.
I peed on someone's floor and Kevin said they wouldn't be able to track me, but they immediately found me. I love that
in Nick's mind, the way he's presenting this, he's just like, oh, we should probably get this right in case the kids listening to us are going to go rob someone's house.
I'm telling you right now.
All right, DNA does contain a small amount of, or I'm sorry.
It contains a small amount of DNA.
But not nearly as much as saliva. I don't think they could figure
Here's
it out.
Here's the thing, kids. If you're going to break into a big old mansion, just don't spit anywhere. Don't do any bodily fluids. Don't break anything. And also don't break into a big ass mansion. It's not cool. Anyway, we meet our protagonist
just
here.
Remember, your first one's always a freebie. Like they don't have your DNA in a database until your second crime. You know what I mean?
Right. But here's
so
the
that
deal.
First one, pee wherever you want.
Once they catch you on the second crime, though, they can link you to the first crime.
Yeah, you just don't pee in that one. When you bring a new friend, he's the peer.
So basically,
you have a designated peer in.
By the way, this is
Joey.
Kevin's
you have to. You have to.
This is Kevin's.
Sorry,
version
I don't have
of,
one of these, so I'm just trying to catch up.
This is Kevin's version of the Wet Bandits. I digress. Oh, Money, God. Rocky, and Alex. That's who. These are our three protagonists. We're introduced to them here. They make off with the goods and then bust
Wait, what are
the sliding
names
glass
again?
Door. Money, is mm-hmm. the is the guy with the cornrows. Rocky yeah. is Jane Levy. Is it Levy, Levy or Levy? Levy. And then Alex is the kid from 13 Reasons Why.
How come two of them have really cool name and then Alex is just...
Because he's a dork, Alex. Joey.
Yeah, he's the dork.
He's a friend zone dork.
Is he the least admitted out of the
what is What is Rocky's real name?
In
real life?
In the thing?
In the thing, yeah.
I have no idea.
Roxanne. Rocky. Her name's Roxanne, but she goes by Rocky. And that is that's a cool combo,
yeah.
Like, I didn't
yeah.
realize that was a possibility, but shout out to you, Rocky.
That's pretty cool. Also, Tim, if you ever have children and you want to name one of them Rocky, I'm all for that.
Okay. Okay. Good to know, Nick. Thank you.
I get him rock.
Also, shout out to your wetlands joke. That was really good.
Thank you. Thank you. I tried to get that through five times. It came through the last time, everyone. I'm sorry. If you're an audio listener, hi. Let's see. They bust the sliding glass door and their plan, hit enough houses to leave Detroit forever, as they discuss in the car. At first, I'm like, why would you, again, what kind of asshole throws a rock through a sliding glass door? Those things are expensive. Granted, this person probably has insurance, so it's probably fine, but it doesn't matter.
Alex, it's to make it look like that's how they broke in.
We come in later. Yeah. Alex doesn't like this plan because he likes Rocky and can't leave Detroit because of his dad and his bad haircut. Alex goes home and replaces the keys from the place they just jacked, and it turns out his father is a security guard, and that's why they threw the rock through the window to cover their tracks.
Brilliant. Now,
any cop worth a damn would be like... No, they'd look at the alarm records and be like, the alarm was disabled right before it was enabled. Someone snuck in. They would figure this shit out.
They would. It would be easy.
Also, what kind of security company also gives you keys to the, like, is that a thing? Where it's like, hey, you're securing my house, but let me give you my spare set of keys.
That doesn't make any sense.
He owns his dad. Is he a security guy or does he like, is that his company?
I think he works for the company or he has something to do with the company. But this is a question, because if you own a security company that apparently is run security for fucking literally every house in Detroit because he just so happens to have the keys to this one random house, which is a coincidence, this guy be balling, man. Security companies, you make a lot of money making people feel secure.
Yeah, but also the scene ends with the showing the dad's desktop to show he's a security guy.
Yeah.
But he's in a security guard's outfit.
Yeah. I think that they didn't.
With the security logo bouncing.
I think that they didn't trust us to figure it out if he was in a business suit holding like a security guard folder.
Right.
Yeah. So they were like, we need to really, really get there for the dumb kids, you know?
Yeah. It's tough. But I mean,
maybe these it's just to luggage. Remind himself that this is where I came from. I started as a security guard and then I created my own company. And I just got to keep that mindset. Always be hustling.
It's
you know?
Exactly why I keep a picture of me and Fran. To this day, it haunts me. I'm like, this is what I have nightmares about. This is what keeps me moving forward. Alex goes home. He replaces that thing. His dad is a security guy. We followed that. Money goes to his friend, Raul, but gets a pittance for his work. Instead, Raul gives him a tip. He's like, how about you go rob this guy who's in this really bad part of the city? The story goes, some preppy girl ran over his daughter and her rich family paid him off. He's sitting on at least $300,000. Alex reminds them that they don't go over 10K. Kevin, what have I always said? We don't go over 10K here. Anything above that
larceny.
Is major grand. Larceny, which could mean 10 years in prison. Now, I'll throw this out there. Anything below that, what do you get, 9 years in prison? Like, what? what is the fucking difference? Like, a year in prison is enough for me to be like, I don't want to do not any worth of this. It's not worth it, right? Yeah. So if he's like, oh, you're going to get we're going to get 9 years in prison. Well,
yeah,
would he calculate like he's going to be out by the time he's 30? I don't understand the point.
But also, like, what if they catch you for one of these small crimes and suddenly they're testing your guy's pee and he pees in every house? So now they're like, wait, you've done 10 of these. Now you're going to jail for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right?
So might as well go big and get out.
Always stay under 10K. Rule number one. Rule number two, only pee pee once.
Yeah, exactly.
Only pee pee once.
Once per person per house. If you need to pee again, you have to bring a new person or a dog.
But rule number three, new kid always pees.
New kid always has to pee. And if Moose has to take a poo-poo, we're like, leave it. Just let him take a poo-poo on the thing. No, also, remember,
Moose is the worst dog to bring to a break-in, by the way.
Yeah, but what would they do? What would you do if
he's blowing up your spot immediately?
They're like, the guy's like this. Hey, we found some fecal matter too. Get that over to the lab as soon as possible. Meanwhile, a week later, the lab calls back and goes, we've run the poo. And apparently one of the robbers was a Pomeranian. Also, I do want to point out, Kevin's not fucking wrong, because this is how they nailed the fucking wet bandits in Home Alone. They were like, thanks for fucking drenching everyone's house, because now we know all the houses you've hit. Like, we know it was you that hit those houses. Remember, Daniel Stern's like, see? And Joe Pesci's like, I'm going to murder him in his sleep in prison. That's good. Then I'm going to have a cup of coffee. Let's see. Later that day, Rocky texts Alex. She pleads with him to help her out because she's got to get her younger sister out of here to a better life. Alex Googles the story of the settlement and finds out more about the man. He is a war vet who was blinded during the war, and he lives in that house. And then he Googles the address, and I think it turns out that his dad does security for that too. So he's like, okay, cool. Over at Rocky's house, her mom is a real piece of work. Her little sister wants to be a surfer, but
real
doesn't understand
piece of
how- shit. Just
piece of shit. Like, immediately is like, oh, you're having sex for money? Is that how you're making money? And it's like, oh, man, mom, calm down. Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. Why would you go to that? No, mom, I'm knocking over houses, and later I'm going to kill a man who is a Vietnam War veteran. No, Iraq War veteran. That's what they said, right? Yeah, Iraq.
Oh, four.
Her little sister, Diddy. I don't know what that's short for. I imagine it's short for Odilia. Ditra. Yeah. Wants to be a surfer, but doesn't understand how
to. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Nick, I threw it out there, Kevin.
What did you think it was short
for? I went to the shelf. I get it. I was like, yeah, there's nothing on this shelf.
So you so just made up a name no one's ever used. Oh,
Kevin,
Ditra?
That's not.
I went, but I put an O in front of it, like Ophelia.
Tim said Ditra, right?
Oh.
He said O Ditra, which is very, like, I feel you going for Ophelia, but why don't you, yeah, all right.
I meant to
wait, is Ditra's the place that Kevin always wants to go for?
Yeah,
lunch?
Ditra's
is with
the J. Ditra's the Thai place or Diddum's the party place. Either way, Kevin wants to go.
Both gone, right?
And RIP, yeah.
For both of them, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, anyway.
What a dark timeline.
Rocky's like, this sucks. I got to get my sister out of here so she can go be a pro surfer. And I feel like I'm just going to say this right now. If this ends up being a prequel for Blue Crush, I'm in. Let's see. And then Alex texts back in all caps. Okay, let's do this. And I'm like, bro, pump the brakes a little bit, homie. You're coming off a little desperate here. And then Rocky tells Diddy about California. Maybe, just throwing this out there, wait until after the job to make promises. Mm. You're not sure you'll be alive to keep.
I want to do a quote for a movie. And I want to see if any of you guys get it.
Yeah.
California. The Wizard, 1989. Little kid wanted to go to California real bad.
I was going to guess the one. I think it's the song from the OC, right, Joey?
Yeah.
California.
Phantom Planet.
Tim, I was going to guess The Witches.
Oh.
Close. The Witches?
That movie's bad to the bone, dude.
No, shout out to Jimmy and the Wizard, baby.
The new one is really bad. That was a terrible movie. Don't watch that movie, Cam.
I have not. Yes, you know, I only like Anne Hathaway in The Intern. I will not watch her in any other movies. The Intern and The Devil Wears Prada are the only movies that I think is acceptable for Anne Hathaway to appear in.
Before we get back to the plot, let me tell you about our sponsors.
Okay.
This show is brought to you by MeUndies. You know how when you're in a nerve-wracking situation and people say, imagine everyone in their underwear to make yourself feel comfortable. As if imagining a room full of strangers down to their skivvies is what makes us feel comfy. MeUndies believes comfort does not start with imagining, but instead it starts with actual comfort. MeUndies designs limited edition prints all the time so you can express yourself every single day. Building your undie collection and picking out which lucky pair gets to meet your butt for the day has never been so fun. Choose prints with corgis, chicken nuggets, your zodiac sign, goofy puns, and more. MeUndies also releases collabs with some pretty big names like the Rolling Stones and Space Jam, A New Legacy. But you have to grab them fast because once they're gone for good. Kinda Funny loves MeUndies. You've heard the boys talk about them for years. They're comfort with good designs that make your friends jealous. To get 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. We're also brought to you by Faherty Brand. Can it be? It's finally summer, and we're actually going to have a real summer this year. So naturally, we've started thinking about looking good after a year and some change, because we're going places. This summer is what Kinda Funny is calling Hot Boy Summer. You saw the jean jacket, you see the haircut, we're doing it big this summer. And that's where Faherty comes in. They make the perfect clothes for the summer. Tim Geddes is the most stylish person I know, and he even loves Faherty Brand clothing. And they're so confident in the quality of their stuff, they have a lifetime guarantee of quality. They'll replace or fix your clothes forever, no matter what. And to top it all off, Faherty is giving our listeners 20% off. That's right, 20% off. So stock up on all of your clothes for summer now. Head to FahertyBrand.com and use code MORNING at checkout to snag 20% off all your summer gear. That's code MORNING at Faherty. That is FAHERTY brand.com for 20% off. Last but not least, we're brought to you by Upstart. If you're carrying a credit balance month after month, it can feel like you're in a never-ending cycle of debt. Upstart can help you make that final payment so you can get ahead. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your credit card debt with a personal loan all online. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score and is expanding access to affordable credit. Upstart considers your income and current employment to find you a smarter rate for your loan. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/KFMB. That is upstart.com/KFMB. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/KFMB.
The plot.
Please tell us the story.
We're back in the first 15 minutes of the movie.
It's way less than that, Joey.
Yeah, no, we're in the first 5 minutes of the movie here, Joe. All right. They scope out the house that day, and the neighborhood is, in fact, a ghost town. This is the only house around. Rocky got a new tattoo of a ladybug, and Alex is like, oh, you got some new cool ink. And she's like, don't say it like that, you fucking nerd. And then she's like, why did you get a new tattoo? And she goes, well, it's a funny story that you ask. Thank you for drumming up all of this insane drama that's happened in my life and all this childhood trauma. But my mom, apparently, when my dad left, locked me in the trunk of a car because I wouldn't stop crying. And then one day, a ladybug crawled up onto my hand to keep me company. And when I go to California after this is all done, I'm going to get a tattoo and color. I'm going to color this bad boy in. And that's the last time I'm going to mark up my body. And Alex is like, that's the last time I ask about any of your tattoos.
Good this point. Was a Good much point. Deeper story than I intended.
Yeah.
And she never like, brought – or there were – was no other callback to ladybugs ever in
there
this
is.
Movie, right?
There is. No, there At is. The yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I miss yeah. it?
A ladybug yeah, falls on her hand and she's like, and she realizes I'm going to make it. Open. I'm going to be all right.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. Once you get the trunk situation, too.
Mm-hmm. Back to that's the what, trunk, of course.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Let's see. Then a dog attacks the window and I jump. The old
I think
vet
I also did too.
Calls the dog back and everyone sees that he's blind. And then Alex is like, hey, we shouldn't rob a person who's blind. And they're like, well, he's probably not a saint. And he's like, okay, cool. I guess we'll kill him. So they decided to go in that night. Later that night, they approach the house.
What's up, Cam?
Sorry. One thing that I thought was unintentionally funny in that scene is he says this guy hasn't left the house in 5 days. And it's like seconds later, he shows up right in front of the car.
Yeah. He's coming back. Yeah. Where it's like, well, I guess until right now, right?
Yeah.
Also, I'd be like this. Have you been here for 5 days?
That scene starts, he goes up to a fence and picks up something that looks kind of like a generic looking GoPro.
Oh, I see.
So I think maybe they had a camera or something that they were watching. That's but cool. That also could just be a headcanon.
This is how I know I could never be a robber, dude. I just can't deal with any of this. I'd be like, this is a bad situation. It's a bad situation.
I'm also not going to lie. I'm not going to trust money to do a really great job.
Recon?
Vetting.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
Like casing a place. It seems like he would be putting in the minimum amount of work.
Yeah.
Possible.
Money's definitely the guy that when you form the group and Rocky brings money, you look at him and you go, you're the guy that's going to fuck this whole thing up for us. Mm. Immediately. Yep. And you go, I'm out. Like, this needs to be more like money is the equivalent to Wayne Grow from The Heat. The second I saw that guy, I'm like, this dude.
No one's seen that movie.
Everyone up.
That reference doesn't make any sense.
There's one person who's seen.
When did that movie come out?
Not The Heat. Excuse me. Heat.
Oh, Heat. Not I'm sorry. We've all seen that movie.
Did I say
you're talking about that? Yeah. It sounded like you said The Heat.
No,
Wayne Grow about
from, I think I did say The Heat, but I'm talking about money is the equivalent to Wayne Grow, right? Where he's like, where's Wayne Grow? He's like, I don't know, man. Then he shoots the guy. Remember Wayne Grow fucked it up for everyone because he was a psychopath and decided to kill the guys?
That's
and
the bigger guy?
They didn't even, I've they never didn't seen even hesitate. They just killed the rest of the guys in the armored truck.
Yeah,
Joe, it's fucking great.
So good.
Man, I just always assume when Nick's talking about any movie with the word heat in it, it's absolutely the one.
It's
the
heat.
There's three movies of note that have the word heat in them. There is.
Can I guess the third one?
Yes.
Is it In the Heat of the Night?
No, great movie though. That is a great movie though. So there's four movies of note. In the Heat of the Night. Okay. Heat, which is a Burt Reynolds movie, which is not very good.
Okay.
Then there's The Heat, which is, we can all agree, top three greatest comedies ever made. And then there's number four, which is Heat, starring Val Kilmer and Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, directed by Michael Mann, arguably one of the greatest films ever made. I digress. Money comes back and tells him there's no one in the house with 10 block radius. He's going to use a chlora bomb so they can knock out the old man and do go in while he's in the house. This would have been my second question. My first, like, okay, what is a chlora bomb? And never use anything that has to do with bomb. Don't trust money with anything that has to do with a bomb. Just throwing that out there, because obviously this guy's a fuck up. There's no possible way this could go well.
It seems you should have taken a lot of science classes.
I'm totally like, I would have for sure tested it out beforehand. You know what I mean? Maybe that's the kind of thing. No, there's no way.
That's probably what it is every night. He's like, I'm going to chlora bomb myself tonight. Y'all want to see this shit, dog?
I totally agree with you, but I was very impressed when he pulled it all out and started doing it all. It didn't work at all.
Yeah,
it didn't work at all.
Impressed until I wasn't, but.
This kid deserves to have his brains blown all over the fucking old wallpaper. Later that night, they approach the house and the lights are out. That'll be the first time I make
the name of the other movie. Got it. Yeah.
Cam, we're taking bets right now. Is this going to be an ongoing joke throughout the rest of my script?
Should it?
Is a
better question.
Yeah. I'll say it comes up two more times.
Oh, interesting.
He nailed it.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
And I would bet money it's only in the script one more time. But like, now that we've talked about it so much, he's going to get it one more after that.
We'll see. We're going to see. You'll never know.
Or he's going through and cutting to get down to two more times and has to pick his best ones.
How amazing would it be if I didn't have a script? If I'm just looking at a blank document right now, it's all just in here, right?
You don't got it in me, Nick. I'm sorry.
No, I sure don't. Neither does Greg. Let's see. Later that night, they approach the house. Lights are out. Money's like, hey, you see, the lights are out. The guy's sleeping. But Alex rather astutely points out, hey, this guy is blind. He doesn't need lights. He could be fucking awake. We don't know. But Money's like, nah, he's sleeping, dog. So they go in anyway. But Rocky's like, it's 2 a.m. Let's get in there. He's probably asleep. Then they drug the dog and say, lights out again. And I think, is this movie lights out at this point?
Nope, sorry. This Cam, this is going to be a lot more.
Oh yeah. You guys are
Wait, does he actually say it?
He says lights out, and the dog goes out. He's like, as he throws the thing over, he says the fucking line.
Did any of you recognize that? Because I didn't.
No,
I'm remembering.
I mean,
that
we also
now.
Weren't looking for it.
I'm remembering so it now. Funny. There was a brief moment where it's like, oh, they're saying the title. I'm like, nope, different movie.
Exactly. I thought it was a titular thing. So I actually asked myself, I'm like, am I watching the wrong movie? Then I Google Lights Out, and it turns out there is a horror movie in the outside. Here, I'm not wrong. Both Cam and I remember this, right? Here is the synopsis. When Rebecca Teresa Palmer left home, she thought that their childhood fears were behind her. As a young girl growing up, she was never really sure of what was real when the lights went out at night. Now, her little brother Martin, played by Gabriel Bateman, that's a creepy name, is experiencing the same unexplained and terrifying events that jeopardized her safety and sanity. Holding a mysterious attachment to her mother, Maria Bello, a supernatural entity has returned with a vengeance to torment the entire family. Sounds bad.
I want to take that one step further, Nick. Another movie trailer from 2019 that reminded me a lot of the style of movie trailer from Don't Breathe was a movie called Crawl, which I did not see. But the synopsis for Crawl is a natural horror film from a screenplay written by brothers Michael and Sean Rasmussen, produced by Sam Raimi. So maybe that, there's a connection there, lightly, somehow. It's the plot follows Kaya and Barry Pepper as a daughter and father who, along with their dog, are hunted by alligators after being trapped in their home during a Category 5 hurricane in Florida. That sounds terrifying.
That movie was like, we're going to try to catch the zeitgeist, and it did not catch the zeitgeist.
It looks like it actually kind of did.
The zeitgeist
$13 million budget. $91 million box office.
We got to make a horror movie, guys. What's our horror movie?
Cam really wanted to see that one.
Cam, what's our horror movie going to be about? I'm going to pitch you guys an idea. What if a global pandemic hits the whole world and we're all locked indoors for a year, and the best we can do is stream all night?
Terrifying thought.
You can film it like a
Bo Burnham.
No, I was thinking like a, what's it called? Searching? Whatever the one that's only on screens.
With John Cho.
That was good. Tim liked that movie. The front door, back to the plot, has four locks, but Alex only got one set of keys from the security company, which apparently does security for every house in Detroit. I have no idea. I think they kind of gloss over the fact that he just has the keys to this somehow. They were like,
well, isn't it just they talk about it being like a ghost town in that neighborhood. So I kind of feel like the security kind of has security lock over that whole
neighborhood
district.
But that's not the same house that the rich house was in.
No, right? But I mean, I imagine
I don't know.
It's coincidental.
In my headcanon, their security company has a couple.
Get your logic out of here.
I am being too logical. It's the Spock in me. Alex, turns out, has an Apple TV remote that apparently will kill the alarm pad if it's very, very close, but the door still won't open. So Money decides to try the cellar door, but it's bolt locked from the inside. Rocky spots a window on the second story with no bars. I spelled that bores, so that's what those are going to say from now on. So they help her up. She breaks the window and unlocks it. The 30-second countdown on the alarm pad begins. Rocky leaves a trail of glass behind her as she searches for the pad. She uses the Apple TV remote to turn it off and takes a moment to survey her surroundings. Tim, it's quiet, a little too quiet. She spots a really creepy picture of the vet's daughter because it's upside down on the mantle. Outside, Money tells Alex to stay in the friend zone. He's like, we got to get in there and help her. And Money's like, bro, fucking you're in the friend zone, okay? Recognize it, fucking stay in there, okay? And Alex is like, no, dude, I want to help. And I meanwhile,
some dialogue.
Like, come on.
I'm not saying I hate it. I just thought it was really funny that they called out what we were all thinking in such an on-the-nose way. It's like, all right, cool.
Here's two ladders, bro. You're in the one where the friends go up. Let's just put it that way. Like any good house guests, they take their shoes off when they come in, and the camera dollies into a hammer that stays in the shot for a really long time. So someone's definitely getting a fucking hammer to the skull. Somehow, some way, they start looking for the money, but don't find anything on the first floor. So Money heads upstairs. There's a cool shot where the camera jibs through the crawl space in the center of the house up to the hallway that Money's at. He goes into the old man's room, but the old man left some home videos on of his daughter, and it's super creepy. Money sneaks in and sets up the chlorobomb, but when he looks back over to where the old man is sleeping, he is straight up sitting upright, and this is the first time I get scared.
Horrifying.
This whole sequence I like, because leading up to the old man, they also like they show the gun under his bed that he later brings down. Like this whole sequence is like the Chekhov's gun one shot, where they show every little piece of this. Like they're showing you all of what's going to be used later in the movie, similar to that first shot, but you don't know how each object is going to come into play later on.
Yeah. Oh, shit. And it's cool too, especially with like this movie could have. We could have just cut upstairs, but the fact that we see the crawl space that she will eventually be crawling through and stuck in, I think is a nice little bit of like setup visually, as opposed to being like, you know, in a lesser movie, perhaps, or in a movie where they felt the need to overexplain, you might have seen them roll out a blueprint and be like, okay, this house has crawl spaces. Maybe we can get through there. But instead, it's one just quick shot that we go up that's very artistic, but it also tells the audience, hey, this is a thing that exists in this old house and we totally buy it. Except we don't buy it when the dog fucking Olympic level quick climbs up to it. It goes in there like an alien.
They're better built for that, especially that type of dog with the short Rottweiler. Legs. Yeah, they'll get in there. Yeah.
Brutal.
Cam, that's really cool. I hadn't thought about that before, but you're totally right. That's a really cool shot for that what it shows.
Yeah. And it also kind of helps establish the relation between all the rooms. So when characters are in different rooms and they come to save each other, it doesn't feel out of nowhere. You kind of know where they had to go to get there.
It places them. Yeah, it's good. Let's see. Money uses, we're over here. Money sneaks in, sets up the chlorobomb. When he looks up, the old man said, he turns on the TV, goes back to bed. Money sets off the bomb and leaves the room with the old man, hopefully fast asleep. We don't know, because like a Bond villain, he just sets the trap and fucking leaves. Rocky points out a massive lock on the cellar door, which he's like, but if I was hiding something, it would be down there. Well, how are you going to know it works then? This is a flawed plan. You don't just assume the guy with combat experience is going to go night-night when you set up your fucking Avion water bottle.
No, but like if you
bomb.
Stay in there, you'll pass out too, right?
That's why you look underneath the door.
Underneath the same door. Thing? Here?
You like this guy? That's it. Anyway.
But then how would you know? Like he's just laying down.
Yeah, what are you looking for under the door?
I don't know. This is not my plan, Joey. I didn't set this whole plan.
It sounded like it was your plan.
That's not my plan. I mean, if I was going to break into this house, I would knock on the man's door and say, excuse me, sir, we have some flowers. Bah! You know what I mean? Fucking thunder and lightning.
Excuse me, sir, we have some flowers. Well, here's the thing. No way he would have opened the door because he's got that girl under there.
No. The guy's like, get the fuck off. No, that was bad.
You
anyway.
Don't think he opened the door for anybody?
No. I doubt
no
it.
One.
This guy's
no
not
one.
Getting pizza delivery. He's not getting shit delivered.
He's
maybe
got that little bell,
delivery,
and that's the only thing he's worried about, like, hearing.
Let's see. With the old man fast asleep, Rocky points out a massive lock on the cellar door, which Money tries to pry open, but when he fails, he takes out his gun, which Alex tells him, hey, man, you brought a gun to this house. This guy's got a legal right to kill us now. And I think... know about that. I think once you broke into his house with a crowbar, that depends might be the right to kill
depends
you.
Depends on the state, Nick.
Fair enough. In Detroit, apparently you can't kill someone unless they try to kill you first. Money uses a water bottle as a silencer and shoots the lock, and Alex is like, oh no. So he bounces.
This is the first, like, come on. There is no, like, you have a crowbar and you're he stuck it between the door and the wall. Literally the worst place. Yeah. Stick it between the little metal lock and the door.
And the four screws that are holding the lock under the door frame.
Instead, you shoot it with a fucking gun. No, this kid's an idiot.
Have you seen this man, Money?
He's dumb.
He ain't thinking. He's not Kevin Coelho. Kevin Coelho would be out there. Wouldn't even need to pee on a single thing. He knows this space. He's in and out. No one would even know he was there.
Tim, I would definitely pee on something my first time.
You would. Kevin would pee on like a winter coat that you don't use for a long time, but just a little bit, just a little squirt.
Yeah, just in the pocket. Or just like in the pocket.
And then you'd be like, why does it smell vaguely like urine in my closet? Mm. Not a lot.
The wet bandits.
The wet bandits. Let's see. Alex bounces. Before they can go down to the cellar, the old man just rounds the corner, and man, he is jacked. And I forget the name of this actor, but he is super good.
Stephen Lang.
He is
Avatar,
awesome.
Baby.
He is Avatar. He's that. He's really? The bad guy.
He's the bad guy. Not the last Avatar, Joey. Last Airbender.
That's a bit Airbender, Joey. That's when they have the.
Yeah, that's a different one. That's a different one.
Okay.
Don't get he's it. He's also don't in Tombstone. He is in Tombstone. He actually he plays that like the heel in Tombstone, like the shitty like come back for you character.
Mm.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Also featured in the Val Kilmer documentary that I watched over the weekend. Let's see. Money tells him he knows what's in the cellar and he's not leaving without it. And the old man's like, oh yeah? Well, I ain't fucking around, and keeps walking toward him. So Money fires off a warning shot, but the old man doesn't deter him at all. And he pretty much disarms Money with ease and then strangles the life out of him. And then he goes, how many of you are there? But Money ain't no snitch to him. He might be stupid. He might not know how a chlorobomb works. He might not even know if he made a chlorobomb. For all we know, he put some Mentos and some Diet Coke in a fucking can together.
That's what it looked like.
That's what it popped up. We don't know.
Nick, I'm so glad that you brought up Diet Coke. Can we talk about the new can branding?
I haven't seen him yet, Joe. I've been off the sauce for about a week and a half now, just trying to get off it a little bit. I was having a bit of a problem.
Zero has new branding too, though.
I heard about it, and I heard it's got a new formula. And I'm looking forward to trying it when I eventually come back to my sweet, sweet, sweet pleasure. Let's see. He says it's just me. And at first the old man's like, you know what? Maybe I'll let you go. Oh, wait, on second thought, maybe I'll put a bullet through your fucking throat that blows off the top of your head. Lights out, motherfucker.
Well, there's games too.
Is that three or is that four?
That's three. Rocky hides in the closet as the old man goes ham on the wall. I might be four, actually, because the dog thing was the reference to. Rocky hides as goes outside the closet. Alex sneaks back into the house like a fucking idiot and runs straight into the old dude who smells his Axe body spray.
He wants to help.
Yeah, but here's the thing, guys. Listen, kids. If you like someone and they drag you into a potential homicide / burglary / break and entry, just say no and go to Del Taco and get some chili cheese fries. And then when they come back, like, oh, how was the robbery? How did it go? Cool. And then
it's been like a year and a half and you had a baby. Oh, that sounds bad.
Oh, crazy. Wait, how? Turkey baster? Jesus Christ.
God.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Anyway, there's always that moment in the movies where you're like, I wish the kid would just have kept going. Just keep going, man. Movie's over. We'll just see from his perspective. No one ever knew. Rocky tells Alex that she's hiding in the closet. The old man comes in to check his secret stash, and she scopes out the code. Alex wants to
Pretty cool.
So he's like, listen, we got to go to the cops because there's been a murder that's happened, but Rocky has a better idea. She opens the safe instead, which has way more than $300,000 in it, probably somewhere of $1 million. You're like, how did he get this much money? We don't know. Alex points out, also, another thing, though, if you have that much money just stashed in a small little safe, maybe put it in the bank for safety.
Yeah. So like they were very clear about him getting that money legally. I think it was around 300, but it doesn't matter. Why not? If you have it legally, why not put it in the bank? You're not doing anything illegal. There's no reason you should be concerned about taxes and whatnot. Well, like you've got
maybe he's taking care of that girl down in the basement. Maybe he wanted it all out in cash so there wasn't like a trail.
Maybe,
but that seems dumb. Like buy groceries. No one's gonna be like, oh, he's buying groceries for two, not for one. You know what I mean? Like that's
exactly.
It just seems like a smarter thing to have in your money. But he's paranoid and crazy, I guess, is the answer to that.
That's fair.
I think,
but also, yeah.
Also, he's very capable of defending his house, apparently.
Yeah, it makes, totally makes sense that he wouldn't trust a bank. Like, you look at this guy, if you ask me, does he trust or not trust a bank? I'm like, well, if that's an option, he does not trust the bank.
Alex points out that the cellar door was locked from the inside, so maybe they can get out through there. But before they head down, the old man comes up to put money in a body bag, and stupid Alex walks in a floorboard. Thankfully, Money's cell phone goes off and draws the old man's attention, and he blows that fucking thing away. Saved by the bell. Was a good show. The old man drags Money down the hallway as Alex and Rocky head to the cellar. He finds the two other pairs of shoes and runs back to the safe to check where stash.
That's another setup that I loved.
Yeah,
where they took off their shoes so they weren't making enough noise. And then, of course, it comes to bite them in the ass when he's just cleaning and feeling. And it's like, oh, he knows that they're there.
Yeah, smart
guy. That's so cool. That was very clever.
Alex and Rocky search.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex and Rocky search for the door in the darkness. When the light turns on, they look over, and who do we see there? A chained up Cindy. And Cindy shows them, and she's got him. And then she's like, don't go, don't go. And she shows them a news article about her. She's the teenager who killed the old man's daughter upstairs. And Rocky is like, we got to get her out of here. And also, I just want to give a shout out to the production designer for this. This makeshift room he's made of all couch cushions and pillows is the scariest, creepiest fucking thing ever. And it looks like a play. It looks like a scale model of like a horror show that you would see. It's terrifying. Very well done from the perspective of that.
And the fact that there isn't like glass on it or anything, and it's just the fact that she's tethered, I think adds to it too.
Yeah.
So I feel like so many horror movies have like, oh, you're stuck in a thing. And it's like, well, she's stuck, but not in the way that like people are normally stuck. And I like that. Like, so close to freedom, but so far.
I think the important lesson we learn here is if you're in a situation horrible like this, keep yourself fit. You got to keep doing squats. You got to do pull-ups, whatever you can, so that if the moment to escape happens, your muscles haven't atrophied. You can pop up and run out, because she's having a lot of trouble running out. I'm not saying it's the reason why they don't make it out of this house, but I'm just saying, seems like a smart thing to do. You know what I mean? Stay strong and fit as much as you can so that you can run out when the time comes.
It's tough. It's tough. You never know, though. Maybe, I mean, presumably he was feeding her well because she had the baby inside. Pregnant. But
yes,
you know, normally when you see these things, I always think the same thing. But I'm like, no, Kevin, what you're missing is they only feed you a little bit of food, so you're weak all the time. You don't have time. You don't have the energy to do those squats. Also, I'm very well fed as a human being. I don't do squats right now. I don't like doing that.
Yeah, but you're not being held hostage by someone, is what I'm saying. You know,
some would say I'm being held hostage by my own ego. By my pride. Anyway, they unlock
different,
her.
Though, than by someone who's impregnated door. You. That's and fair. Wants to keep your baby.
This is fair. Different situations. They unlock her and head down to the door, but it's padlocked. Alex uses the keys to unlock it that he found in the safe. There's another safe that he found. Excuse me. It was the same code as went upstairs. And then as he opens the door, the man is there waiting for him, and he pops off around. First one goes to Alex's ear. The other one hits a cell phone, and another lands squarely in Cindy's face. She falls to the ground, and the old man finds her body and screams to the high heavens. He's like, no, Padme. And he turns around and locks the cellar door. And then he snaps off a screwdriver to jam that padlock shut for good. Alex,
what a moment. Didn't see that coming, you know? Like, her getting shot was like, oh, shit. Okay, what's going to happen now?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm trying to remember of what I thought originally when, like, I saw his reaction to her dying. Of, like, I don't think I ever questioned why he was upset about it, and like, yeah, I think you just don't necessarily have enough time because
I feel like with that setup, you definitely just assume it's like a fucked up sex thing, right?
I always assume it's like all he had was torturing her or something,
yeah.
Like the last thing connecting to him to his daughter or whatever,
something like that.
Because I guess maybe that's what I thought, is he had kidnapped her to like
to be the daughter.
Yeah,
that's what I thought when I first saw it too. I didn't think it was like sex thing. I thought it was like, oh, he's you took my daughter. You're now my daughter. I'm going to just keep you down here forever in some weird fucked up manner. It gets way more twisted.
Yeah, I just assumed that it was like a fucked up revenge thing. I'm going to torture you.
Yeah,
I guess I didn't have like it happened so quickly that like I don't know that I had enough time to actually put all the pieces together.
He is clearly pregnant though, and I only noticed that obviously the second time watching it. But like her body goes down, you see her stomach. Yeah.
Alex and Rocky have only one option left, the front door. They make a run for it, but before they can get to the ladder that leads up to the front door. The old man turns out the lights. Lights out, motherfuckers.
We were so wrong. We were so wrong.
Rocky and Alex stumble helplessly in the dark. I love how this scene is shot while the old man traverses his surroundings with confidence, having practiced with the help of location markers like the fan and the overhead beam. I think that's super cool. He's like, he knows where the fan is. He knows where everything is. And he can just run straight forward with a confidence, knowing like he's not going to hit anything.
I'm so interested in how they shot this part. Because I don't know. They seem like they really couldn't see where they were going and that they were like really panicked in their eyes. Do you have any fun facts?
Fantastic thing you bring up there. Stephen Lang wore contact lenses that greatly restricted his vision, particularly in low light. The other actors in the scene taking place in the dark wore lenses that made them look like they had dilated pupils, but also it did greatly restrict their vision. So,
good call. I appreciate it also just from like a color correction standpoint of like, they didn't just bring everything down. Everything was a sort of gray, but you still like lost some things in the darkness when the camera would back up.
Yeah, it looked like it was a night vision kind of to a degree, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, the way they like hid and revealed Stephen Lang's character kind of like being there, like where the locations of everyone was like, holy shit, such a great tense scene and like good use of lighting and camera there for sure.
The moment where she's like getting close to him and like she has no idea he's in front of her and then he shoots. Terrifying.
That's brutal.
Terrifying.
Alex calls out to her, of course. The old man beelines for him instead and starts choking him through the shelf. Alex thinks fast and brings the whole shelf down on the man. Together, Alex and Rocky head upstairs and use Money's crowbar to jam the door shut. All seems okay until something down the hallway stops them dead in their tracks. And it is, in fact, the dog from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It has shaken off its hangover and it is pissed the fuck off. Alex is like,
this dog is old.
Alex is like, don't run because this thing will rip your throat out. But it doesn't matter because the old man from downstairs slams up against the cellar door, which triggers the dog, the beast, to chase them up into the old man's daughter's room. Alex wants to use the Apple TV remote to trigger the alarm and call the police. But Rocky's like, we gotta get out of here with the money or it's all for naught. And this is the point where I'd be like this. We've lost. The money is a dream. You need to let it go and maybe get a job at Starbucks to help your sister because there is a man beast dog chasing us and an old guy downstairs who is outwitting us at every point. I mean, this is his fucking world. Okay.
Like a clearly like murderous old man and also a clearly fucked up old man that like has somebody in his basement. So it's like, get out.
Yes. Another good movie. She heads into the crawl space as the door bursts open and the dog knocks Alex out of the window to the skylight little thingy below. The glass slowly cracks as he's laser unconscious. Rocky takes a moment to breathe or not breathe. That's a good reference. But it's interrupted when the dog climbs in like a fucking alien. He climbs a bunch of furniture and just gets into the crawl space and just straight fucking knocks her down an air shaft. Yeah. Which is like, damn, what happened to the dog?
It is Alex, brutal, man. Her falling down.
The cut back to first, it later.
Yeah, it's like, damn, it just went
for
it.
Very intense.
Which is cool because like a lot of times these movies like don't do that. Like they make it like, oh, she fell for that moment to like be an impact. But when she actually hits, when we see her the next time, she's kind of fine. Oh, this was like, no, she did land on her damn head.
She landed on her
head. No, she looks like she fucked. Painful. Like she could have absolutely just paralyzed herself doing that.
Definitely.
And I thought that's what happened the first time I saw it. Like, it's terrifying. Like I thought she was gonna wake up stuck in there. Like,
oh,
can't God. Breathe.
That also sounds awful.
Don't breathe, more like don't move because you're stuck in there.
God damn.
Nick, you
and then the night happens, and guess what? Lights out, motherfucker. Anyway,
great.
The man lets off. Oh, this is the best shot in the whole movie, in my humble opinion. Alex wakes up and tries to slide off the glass, but when he looks up, the old man, the guy's just pointing a gun at him. It's like the camera pans up and he's just still pointing a gun, like waiting for him, and then fires off around. It's too late. Let's see.
Even when he's laying on the glass and you can just see the little spiders of the cracks and stuff like that, the sound design for that is so good.
The man lets off around and shatters the glass, sending Alex to the floor below. Alex hides in the kitchen and covers his mouth as the man stalks his prey. Don't you fucking breathe, bro. But it's too late. He breathes and the man comes in with a fury. Before he can get a beat on the boy, Alex hits him with that hammer. And we're like, oh, we saw the hammer. But what did we learn from Infinity War, Tim? What is the fucking takeaway from Avengers Infinity War? Always
inevitable.
Go for the dick, right? For the dick is what you're supposed to do.
Straight for the dick.
A fight ensues.
The famous Thanos quote.
No, you gotta go for the head. What's this kid thinking? He like hits the guy's hand. Like,
you should have gone for the dick.
Would have been a very, very different endgame if that was the takeaway from that. A fight ensues and Alex gets his face smashed into a bunch of by the much bigger foe, who somehow knows that the Apple TV remote will trigger the alarm, so he shuts it off. The old man jams a pair of garden shears through Alex's stomach, and it's bye-bye bad haircut. Rocky wakes up and makes a lot of noise trying to punch her way out of the air vent. It's almost like she hasn't learned anything from the last 15 minutes of her life. So the old man just punches through the fucking ceiling and pulls her down, and then chokes and punches her unconscious. And this scene is violent and brutal because he's just like hitting her face a little bit until she goes out, because he doesn't want to hurt her, because he's saving her for something else much more sinister. She wakes up chained to the cellar in the same fashion as Cindy, and the terror is real. She tries to reason with her captor. Yeah.
If I'm in this situation for any reason, I feel like I know that this man just had a woman locked up in his basement. There's no way I'm letting him take me in alive. Like, if it's the truth, like, I want him to kill me at this point. Like, it is not worth it to stay alive and be locked up in that basement. I don't know how you do that. I don't know what that is, but that would be my goal.
Yeah, I was going to say, you use that chain and just, you know, kind of try to.
I don't think I could do it to myself, but I am fighting tooth and nail to just get him to be like, you know what? She's not worth it.
First step maybe is that's, try to.
You just pee because you're trying all options.
Yeah.
To like get him to be like, oh, this girl is crazy.
She's drinking her own pee right now. It's crazy. Rocky tries to reason with the capture. He says, she killed your daughter and you wanted her to pay, but she's got it all wrong. She should have gone to prison, but that rich girl, but rich girls don't go to jail. None of this is going to bring your daughter back, is what Rocky says. And he says, funny you should mention that. Cindy took my child away from me. I thought it's only fair that she give me a new one. She was pregnant with my baby. You killed them both. You have to be held accountable. And Rocky realizes the depth of the shit she has gotten herself into. Alex wakes up upstairs. Turns out the garden shears went through Money's dumbass body instead of his. Woohoo, he's still alive. He grabs a sledgehammer, which means he's going to make it to the end of the movie, right? He grabs a sledgehammer and locks the dog in the kitchen while the old man puts Cindy's body in a tank. Oh, this is horrifying. He puts her in like a tank and fills it with water and the tile below and then just covers it up. And I'm like, I don't know
if that was covered. Other bodies under those other tiles in the garage?
Definitely. There was really a lot of trial and error.
Because it explains like why later when the cops come, they don't find a body in the thing.
Yeah, exactly. I would, if I were the cops though, I'd have a couple questions about the
basement. Couple questions for sure. But Kevin brought up a good point after we watched it, which was
cops are stupid.
No, Kev can't talk.
He can't talk.
People are into weird sex things, so it's like the cops can't really judge this, you know?
That's true. That is true. That is true.
I would assume that they didn't go into the basement.
I don't know. They searched the whole house.
In the basement.
He killed a couple people. They searched the whole house at this point. I'd be like, we got to be a little thorough. And here's what I would do if I were an officer.
What would you do, Nick, if you were an officer?
And by the way, when I said cops are stupid, I meant movie cops are generally stupid. I don't mean cops in real life are stupid. I'd open the door to the cellar and I'd look down and there'd be, instead of a staircase, there'd be a ladder. And I'd be like, this guy is killing someone down there. This guy definitely is doing something fucked up. And I'd be like, we're going to search around here and we're going to put this guy in jail. Yeah.
We're going to bring some of those dogs that like sniff around for stuff. Like maybe a drug dog, a bomb dog, and a dead body dog, and just let them go wild.
Specifically the dead body dog. I'd be like, Joey, you're the police commissioner. What dog should we bring in first? Should we bring in the bomb dog, the drug dog, or the dead body dog? What do you think?
I mean, I think you're right that we bring in the dead body dog first.
I think that's a strong call.
But the we got Grover and the dead body dog. Retractable stairs also could be like a meth lab or something. I don't know.
We're going to need the whole goddamn Paw Patrol out here.
Get all the dog. Get the Paw Patrol. Get the Blues Clues. Get Clifford. Get everyone in here. Give me that fucking shark song, too. I don't know if that's a thing that can sniff out a dead body.
Bring in Baby Shark. Why not? Bring in Baby.
Oh, man. Let's see. Alex smartly, I think, unlocks the front door first before going downstairs while the old man thaws out a little of his man milk. He hoists Rocky up and cuts a hole in her jeans. And this is where this scene becomes especially disturbing. And he grabs a turkey baster and sucks up some of the old Pearl Jam into it. And there's a few beard hairs in the bottom of that thing just for good measure, too. In case this scene couldn't get any fucking more horrifying, there's a couple just hairs at the bottom of the fucking sperm thing.
I think I did too, Cam. I don't think I made it coming through.
And I gagged. That, whoever did that, though, whoever worked for that, like, art department, so much work after that.
Academy Award.
So I was reading some things about that that I wasn't planning to talk about, but here we are. So I'm going to tell it anyways. One of the assistants was like, it would be a good idea if we put some hair in it. So they literally just cut some of their hair off to put in. God. And the prop people, when asked what the juice was, they're like, oh, it's literally the same stuff that they use in like porn for it to like look crazy when there's an excessive amount. So you guys, I have to sleep with that knowledge. So you all do as well.
Thank you, Tim. And yeah, I'll thank you for never sharing a piece of trivia like that with me ever again. Lights the fuck out, Tim. Lights out. She says, you can't do this. And he says, there's nothing a man can do once he accepts there's no God.
He does sound weirdly Bane-ish.
Yeah. He sounds like a cross between Bane and Buffalo Bill. And it's terrifying.
What the fuck? Where did that line come from, too? Like, that out of nowhere. Well,
they were talking about
this
God.
This man is unhinged.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh my God. He's like, there is no God. I've accepted that.
I love how much he's becoming Bane. Real quick, I just, the idea of the cops looking through the house and then being like, sir, I think there might be a dog in between these walls.
There's a scratching sound. You either have a very large dog or a world record-setting rat is in there. We got to get that fucking thing out of there. Anyway, Rocky loses her shit, and he says, 9 months, and I'll give you your life back. To which I'd be like, no, you won't. You can't. That doesn't make any sense.
Yep, no way you're just letting me walk out of this.
But before he can squeeze out the plunger, Alex shows up and knocks his head off. But of course, again.
And then the biggest issue that we have in this movie, and then he stops hitting him.
Yeah.
Never stop hitting him. Break an ankle. A hand.
No, fucking like, break his head in half.
Yeah,
like, break his fucking head.
What I'm saying is, you cut not the little Achilles tendon and he can't walk.
There you go. Yeah, like
with
Joey. Like
hammer,
Joey,
Jesus, that's brutal.
Yeah, that's brutal. That's going to take some time, Joey.
You got to hobble him like
misery. Don't Breathe movie with Kevin and Joey on the squad.
Well, no, because Kevin would have been like this. I'm going to go into this guy's room while he sleeps and just fucking hit him with a sledgehammer. He's going to be dead. And we're going to go rob him down. Yeah. And no one's going to find him for years. Because this fucking whole thing is a demilitarized zone.
You think I would look at the rest of the house,
right?
I do
want to say, Nick, with that plan, that does involve the people breaking in to also commit murder.
Yeah, they didn't know that there was all this crazy stuff going on before. They just wanted the money.
Right. Maybe research one of those, like, you know, you hit him in the leg with a fucking little trank.
A little trank,
just knocks him out for a few hours.
But we've already talked about how difficult it is to do research about how to knock someone out.
Joey knows.
Yeah, you can't just Google chloroform.
You also can't just buy chloroform in this state. It sucks.
You can in Arizona, though. You can get anything in Arizona.
You think that was step one of Money's like foray into the chlorine bomb? He was like trying to make chloroform, but couldn't figure it out. And he was like,
is that what it was? A chlorine bomb?
It was a chloroform bomb, I think, is what it was supposed to be.
Chloro-bomb.
He said chloro-bomb, and I think it was supposed to be short for chloroform. Chlorine would have killed that man.
Yeah, chlorine melts your throat.
Yeah.
And then you die.
I'll never forget.
Even just like small amounts?
Yeah, chlorine bomb, yeah.
My mom.
Mustard gas?
Because I don't know where she read this or saw this or whatever, but she decided to put a little tablet of chlorine in the upstairs bathroom. So, like, she put it in the tank because she thought the tank water wasn't clean enough and didn't tell me or my brother. But she didn't use, like, you know, they have those little spa tablets, Kevin, that are, like, this big.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Those spa tablets are for, like, an entire spa full of water, gallons and gallons of water. I'm pretty sure she put a whole fucking pool one in, the ones that look like hockey pucks. And I flushed the toilet, and suddenly my eyes burned so hard that I was like, I don't know if I can find my way out of this.
Yeah, because the new water comes in with that old
with
reserve water. Yeah, now, so it's just
Cam, I know what you're asking yourself. Nick, you grew up with a brother. Did you warn Matt before he went in the next time? I sure didn't. I needed him to experience this too, so we could have that common that common experience together.
Oh man,
that's what you do with your brothers, man. I was like, hey Matt, go take a shit in there and tell me what.
Oh, take a shit. Tell me what happens.
Oh, what a piece of work I am. Anyway, before he can, 9 months, he knocks him out. Oh man. And then Rocky fucking kicks him in the head and then jams the turkey baster full of his man goo into his mouth. And he spits out his own mayonnaise. And it is.
I take back my comment. I didn't gag with the original turkey baster. It was at this point.
That this part was where this was a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was hard. Rocky tells him he's going to rot in jail. But Alex, in a stunning turn of events, tells her they can't go to the cops. We can't go to the cops. Keep the money. To your earlier point, he won't let us. So apparently this is buying his silence. So they leave. And apparently the front door is still locked because Alex kind of fiddles with the keys and takes his fucking sweet time. And then as he opens the door and the sunlight breaks through, a bullet rips through his shoulder and then another. And Alex falls to the ground dead. The old man has freed himself and he ain't
happy. We saw this coming. Not me. I would have sworn that Alex would have made it to the end of the movie.
Nah.
Fucking crazy he died.
Yeah, the thing is this, though. Once you're in the friend zone, you can't get
like, they put one handcuff on him. One fucking handcuff, right?
Fucking ripped out of the wall.
They didn't put two handcuffs. They should have hogtied his ass after breaking his knee.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Yep. Rocky makes it out to the street. She shouts back, "You're worthless out here." And then the guy stands there for a second. And then his fucking massive dog rushes out the front door after Rocky. She heads, of course, she heads out and narrowly makes it to the car. But in the chaos, she left the bag of money outside. She also doesn't have the keys. This plan was not well thought out. The dog takes up a position on the hood and waits. Rocky pops the back seat and does some trickery. She finds one of those tie lines and fashions it to the trunk latch. Then she lures the dog in and traps it.
That's pretty smart. That was clever.
Until Cujo just fucking rips through the Trans Am's back seat and starts heading for her. She manages to latch the Thailand onto his collar about a half a millimeter away from him, biting her face off. And she gets out and everything is good.
She should have gotten out before that, you know?
Yeah.
Like she had a moment of respite where it was like, don't get out and go. Like, why would you be like,
I'm going to dog barking.
Yeah.
Once outside, she picks up
the bag. That's very true. Yeah, that's smart.
Exactly. Once outside, she picks up the bag and she stops for a second to take a breath. What have we fucking learned, Tim? Do not fucking breathe. Don't you even think about breathing. Don't you
fucking breathe. Or the lights will go out.
Or the lights are out. And guess what? The old man sneaks up behind her. What does he do, Kevin? Lights out, motherfucker.
There it is. Is that three more for the count?
That's a lot. It's a lot. It's five don't breathe. Also, he drags her back to the house. And this is the shot we saw from the beginning of the movie. And he drags her and drops her off right by Alex's body. Then a ladybug climbs on to her hand and draws her attention toward the Apple TV remote in Alex's pocket. She scoops it up and uses the remote to trigger the alarm. The sound deafens the old man. And then Rocky does that thing. And Rocky does that thing from Venom where like and then it just comes in and out and starts hitting him over and over again. Very similar, Tim. You'll remember this, of course, because it's one of your favorite movies, to the movie Predators starring Adrian Brody.
Yeah, one of my favorite
Adrian Brody
movies.
Just runs back and forth, knocking the Predator down with a big old bone knife thing that he found. And it's kind of weird because you're like, he's moving like a superhero now. He's not that guy.
Yeah, no.
The old guy commands to turn off the alarm, but it doesn't matter because Rocky ends up knocking him out with the crowbar and he falls down into the cellar below and the gun goes off and shoots him in the liver. And Rocky's like, I guess he's dead. I'm not going to check.
Well, no, now the alarm's going off. She's trying to run away with the money.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting that he didn't bring the dog back.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah. Good point.
Oh, you just know, in the car.
Doesn't need the dog anymore.
Drag one thing back at a time.
That's well,
I guess the dog, but the dog's good. Like the dog knows what the dog's doing.
Yeah, at least free it.
That's true. Because what if you need its help again? You can't call it. He's like, I'm in the fucking car, asshole. He's like, come here, come. And he's like, what do you want me to do? I'm gonna fucking open the door. You gonna fucking drive the car down to you? I don't drive stick. You know that. Anyway, Rocky scoops up the money and heads out the front door as the cops come around the corner in the distance. We cut over, of course, to a train station. Rocky and little Diddy are sitting there having breakfast. And she's like, everything's okay. What are you going to do when you get to LA? I'm going to become a surfer. And she's like, yeah, well, we have $300,000. And California is very expensive. So probably no surf lessons for you. And then, of course, Rocky spots a news story about the prior night's activities. And she is horrified to learn that the old man survived. And more importantly, didn't report a thing about them. And the final shot is her and Diddy walking off to the train. The end.
What question? How did he catch the girl in the first place?
He was like, come over to my house for some tea. You know?
Yeah, none of that makes... That's not how you catch someone and not get caught.
This guy is shifty, man. This guy knows what's up, dude.
He can't see. I believe that in his house and the surrounding areas with the assistance of his dog...
Mm-hmm. He can get
the
around.
Barking thing answered a lot of questions, Cam. It was a great call. It was a great things? Call. Cam was like saying that he could hear him bark.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah. But yeah, I just don't... I don't know.
Because the girl never would have come to that neighborhood.
Right.
It's not like
you think
can
that she came to apologize or something?
Maybe.
Well,
maybe.
I wonder if he hired someone to kidnap her. But I feel like that's how... Like
no,
would
I,
know
he
that,
wouldn't
yeah.
want too many other people involved. I feel like he's a lone ranger.
Look at
also,
that
I mean, when you start going that far down the rabbit hole, if this teenage woman's family is this wealthy and she goes missing, do you think they'd be like, well, we're out of, I don't know, man. Your guess is as good as mine. Or do you think, let's start with the guy whose daughter, our daughter, killed. Maybe that's suspect number one. Let's sneak into his house and see if our daughter's being kept. It's not like he has three different houses. Like, this is his house.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Number one.
So yeah, let's do a little Ragu Bagu, baby. Joey, hit me with the song for Ragu Bagu.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Ragu.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Bagu. What's up, everyone? Welcome to Bad Guys Talk Bad Guys. Here for Don't Breathe. Don't you dare breathe. So far, number one, this guy is credited in the IMDb as the blind man. So that is how we'll refer to him on this list. Unless anyone wants to put him number two.
No, I thought he was excellent. I mean, like I said, I think he goes a little too far in some ways. It's like he was already evil. We didn't need him to be like the most evil, despicable piece of shit ever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, excellent villain for a horror film. Really creative uses of stuff. And I love how grounded the majority of this is, where it's like it's scary because it could happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put money on this list also and greed. Okay. Money. Actually, I'm just going to put money on this list because it's
money
double
the
entendre.
Character or money the item.
Yes,
it's a metaphor.
Joey.
You know,
double both. Entendre. Okay. Double both. Entendre means both.
Yeah. The more that I've thought about it, I was like, what if he kidnapped the girl that killed his daughter and she was pregnant, and he was like, "You took my daughter from me, so I'm taking your kid from you." Maybe something like that would have been like a little bit less egregious.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Still, yeah. Similar motivations.
Again, I just don't believe that he could have kidnapped her.
That also a fair point. Little hole in the thing, but overall I think he's a pretty good villain,
and I think brought to life by the great performance of that actor whose name again eludes me,
Stephen Lang.
I think he really made that character, who could have been a very one-dimensional character, I think he made it his own, and he brings a sense of dread and twistedness.
Definitely.
To this person who has gone through a lot of things in his life and has had his brain twisted because of that. And I think you believe that. And it's a three-dimensional character, I should say. Well-rounded is not how I would describe that character, but I think it works. Sure. And I think the other two male leads are serviceable, but I think Rocky is especially good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jane Levy steals the show for sure.
She did great. Cam is so, so lucky that he just got up to deal with his cute little cat Gambino because, oh, no, he ain't lucky no more. He's putting him back on and he has a special task. Cam, you have a task that I did not prep you for. Hit me with the haiku in review song.
Oh, Cam.
Seven syllables in the middle. You got five for the first and last lines. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme.
They don't need to run.
Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
I love it. I love it.
So ready. He was so ready. He was so ready. Yeah.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like Andrew Feisner did. Get in and get out. You chose the wrong house, sucker. A turkey baster? God, I hate turkey basters, just as a whole, but especially now. That's all we got now. Remember, go watch Don't Breathe 2 in theaters on Thursday. And anybody that does, please write your haiku in review form, patreon.com/kindoffunny. Now it's time to rank the movies. Obviously, this is number one for all of us. The big question is, what the hell is number two going to be? Is it going to be a part prequel? Are we going to figure out how he kidnapped her in the first place? Do we even need to? I don't know. We'll have to find out in just a few short days. Friday, you'll be able to watch this when we record it live at 3:15 p.m. Pacific time, and then it will go up ASAP on youtube.com/kindoffunny and podcast services around the globe. Cameron Kennedy, thank you so much for joining us. You'll be joining us all week on Kinda Funny Podcast and then the next in review. But until then, where can people find you?
Easiest way to find me is at Cameron Ken on Twitter. That's CamErwin Ken.
Cameron Ken, baby. Gotta love it. Till next time, I love you all. Goodbye.